I heard a chaplain the other day give a testimony about how when he was in Korea, that he was behind the lines and all the men in his platoon got killed but him. And he was over there by himself behind those lines for like 3 months in the winter, when the winter was 10 and 20 below zero. Now, he'd bark off of trees. He'd done all kinds of things. So, you know, none of us have went there, I'm sure. So you have no way or place to grumble and complain. This man, he suffered. I mean, he suffered. And I've heard this guy give his testimony. And he's still alive, as far as I know. I haven't heard from him in 2 or 3 or 4 years. But he was in Korea. He's a little older than I am. And he said, when I finally got back to the Yellow River, I stood up there on that mountain, and I looked down, and there's North Korean troops everywhere. There's our guys on the other side of the Yellow River. I can see them all. He said, Lord, there ain't no way I can get across there without getting killed. There ain't no way. He said, I don't know what you can do, but I know you can get... And, of course, he had picked up clothes and pieces of clothes and everything off of dead GIs or off of dead Korean soldiers. And a lot of stuff he was wearing was Korean, because if somebody saw him, he wanted to look like a Korean, not an American. And so he was behind there with all these clothes on and trying to stay warm and with nothing to eat. I mean, you can't imagine what it's like to try to live on the land when it's 10, 20, and 30 degrees below zero. I've been over there. I know what it's like when it's 20 below zero. I've seen kids walk out by the base out there with no shoes on but rags wrapped on their feet and at 10 below zero. I mean, you know, you hadn't lived if you hadn't been in America all your life. You'd have no idea what goes on in the rest of the world. But anyway, he was standing up on that mountain and praying and asking God to do something. And he said, all of a sudden, I looked around, and I'm standing in the middle of GIs. And they looked at me and he said, I'm an American. And they come over and took him and said, he said, where am I? They said, you're in the middle of a camp. He said, where's the Yellow River? They said, about 3 miles this way. And he looked, and there was a mountain over yonder he was standing on a few seconds ago. What'd God do to him? Translated him. Is there any scripture that anybody else ever got translated? Sure. Now see, this man had been through hell on earth. Why didn't God translate him a long time ago? See, I don't understand that. Do you? I don't understand. I don't think he ever understood it. But he went through literal hell on earth over there for months. He was behind those lines. In fact, the day that all the men that was with him got killed, he knew the North Koreans were taking him and his team to a place to kill him. So they were going up a hill, and he said, I pushed one of the guards, and I just jumped over the edge of this cliff. Said it must have been, I don't know, 100, 200 feet to the bottom. There's a bunch of little trees. I thought, well, I'm not going to just give up. If I die, I die. And when he pushed the guys, his guys all did the same thing. They all jumped over the edge, and every one of them, he said, I went tumbling over that hill, head over toes, and got plumb to the bottom. Bam! And he said, of course, the guards are shooting up there, and of course, these guys are hitting on top of me and everything. And he said, finally, they shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. And then finally, they go away. They don't come down that steep cliff to get down to us. And then they'll leave. He said, an hour or two, I'm laying, I feel blood, you know, running all over me and everything else. I don't feel no pain. He said, after a couple hours, everything's quiet. I said, guys, get up. Let's go. Let's go. Every man on top of him was dead. He was the only one that got out alive. Why did God save him? He had paid the price. He was in God's Word. He was the only one of them that met the criteria that was required to live. Only one. And then when he stood on that hill, after all that pain and suffering, for 2 or 3 months, he's behind those enemy lines in the wintertime. And if you ain't been to North Korea in the wintertime, you don't know what cold is. I went over there when I was in the military, and I had to work on an F-105 in the hangar. And the warmest it got in the hangar, where they did have a little heat, that big giant hangar where them airplanes were, I was working on an F-105 in there, and the warmest it got during the daytime was 20 above zero. We worked in there 20 above zero. That's cold, you know it? 20 degrees, we're out of the wind, we're inside a hangar, but 20 degrees is cold. And it never got warmer than that with heat in the building. So you can imagine what it was outside, 30 below zero. 20 and 30 below zero. How would you like to be out there? No, not me. But this guy was translated back, and he's told that story. He's wrote books right now. I can't even think of his name. Has anybody ever read his story? Anybody know who I'm talking about? Nobody even knows him. Okay, I'll try to find one of his books. But anyway, the Lord tells us, take unto us the whole armor of God, so can we be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Well, what is the armor of God? Okay, let's go to the next few verses. Let's look at these things. We have to have our loins girt about with truth. Now see, when he uses this as an example, have your loins girt about with truth. Actually, what he's talking about, be in the truth of the word. Let your words that come out of your mouth be truth. Don't be a liar. We know God hates liars, don't we? Yeah. So if you, this spiritual battle that we're fighting to put on this full armor, it is a spiritual weapon or a spiritual device. It is not putting truth on your people's eyes. Get them someone to put on the truth of God. Forget it. Then they walk down the street and tell their friend a lie. Uh-huh. I walk in and say, hi, Tom, how you doing? I'm doing good. What'd you do yesterday? Oh, I can't tell him. I went to the and did this or that. He'll be upset with me. So I tell him a lie. Oh, I didn't have my loins girt about with truth, did I, Tom? No. Have I got the doors wide open to the devil? Oh, yeah. He's going to get me. He's going to get me. Yeah. So, but have your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. Now then, are we the righteousness of God in Christ? Yeah. Somebody said, you know, how many times have I asked people, are you righteous? You know what Christians tell me? Most of them tell me, no. Boy, I wish I could be righteous. I could get something done if I could be righteous. But see, when they get a hold of the fact that Christ made you, he reconciled you, just like Deborah said, he made you the righteousness of God in Christ. So somebody said, are you righteous? You say, absolutely. I'm righteous. Well, you don't act very righteous. That's okay. The King made me righteous. Amen. So we ought to do the best we can to walk in those attributes anyway. So somebody said, well, I'll have to say, old Keith, he is pretty righteous. He don't have all those nasty words that everybody else does. He's not bringing his pictures of pornography in, showing us all the... You know, lots of guys do that. Bring it to work. Bring their Playboy magazine in, you know. I mean, this is normal guys in the workplace. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, you know. This ain't supposed to be Christians. You know, this is not supposed to be men of God. We ain't supposed to live there, you know, so... But we're supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and it says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that really mean? You've got to be walking in peace. The peacemakers are going to inherit the earth. Is that right, Tom? That's written, isn't it? So are we supposed to be walking in peace? Absolutely. With who? Everybody. Your worst enemy comes up to you. What should you do? Punch him out or shake his hand? Shake his hand. That's absolutely right. When you say, find somebody that's sick and afflicted, a woman's got breast cancer. And you find out she's got a grudge against another woman. And that's nearly always the case when a woman has breast cancer. Almost every time a woman that's sick with breast cancer has some kind of unforgiveness toward another woman. So you say, have you ever had a woman you had unforgiveness against? Well, yeah, you know, 10 years ago, there was a woman that stole my husband from me. We've been married 20 years, and she come in and stole him. Have you forgiven him? Well, yeah. Okay. Are you sure you forgive him? Yeah, I forgive him. Okay. So the next day, you go find that woman, and you bring her in. And you say, you know this woman? Yeah, I know her. Is she the one who stole your husband? Yeah. Tell her you love her. Oh, I thought you forgive her. Oh, I thought you forgive her. So you find the truth out then, don't you? If she can walk over and take her by the hand and say, I forgive you. I love you. Hey, she really did it, didn't she? She really did. See, or at least the chances are a whole lot better than when she looks at you and she says, you. You know she didn't forgive her. You know, we can tell God a lot of things, but he knows the truth, what's in the heart, right? And that's why we're sick and afflicted. Now then, the rest of these is going down to the next couple of verses. Above all, take the shield of faith. Now, if you don't have the Word of God, the shield of faith, if you don't have that thing which is going to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, you might as well hang it up, because that devil is going to get you. Because he's going to be shooting them fiery darts at you. I told Dave this morning when we saw that police officer sitting up there hiding behind the dirt, you know, where that people come zipping by there. And, of course, we just went to the airport, was out there just 5 minutes and come back. He's already gone. And I said, well, one thing about it, you don't have to sit here very long till you find some sinner that's going to come by here. Because they're all driving too fast. You know that? So, but at least I told him, I said, most police officers won't drive up beside you and say, come on, let's race. Let's race. And then stop you and give you a ticket. When you say, really? You want to race? Yeah. Let's see which one of our cars is the hottest. And he knows you got a big hot car. He said, and you give it the gas and run up to about 90. And he comes right up behind you and turns his lights on. And stopped you and gives you a ticket. He said, I thought you wanted to race. He said, oh, yeah. But I'm going to give you a ticket for $500. I waited, you got to 100 before I stop you. You know, I'm really going to stick it to you. You know, but that's what the devil will do you, right, Jack? Yes. He'll tempt you and test you and draw you off. And then he'll wait till your sin gets into that part where he gets legal right to put AIDS on you. And then he'll afflict you. And you ain't got none of the armor of God on. You're just stripped naked. So when he starts shooting them fiery darts into a spiritually naked body, what kind of chance have you got? None. That's exactly right. And then darts hit you, and the first thing you know, you're on the picture of on the front page of the Dallas or Fort Worth or whatever it was. Okay, New York Times. Okay, you're on the front page with AIDS, dying, and the government don't have a clue what's causing it. I know the answer, don't you? I know the cure for it. Stop sinning. I'm sure that'd go over like a lead balloon, huh? But I don't care. That's what God says, right? Okay. And take the helmet of salvation. Of course, if you don't have the helmet of salvation, nothing works. You've got to be a born-again child of the King. So if you don't have the helmet of salvation on, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, this is another thing, too. When people come to me, and it happens all the time, people come to me sick and afflicted. And I say, you know, there is a wonderful promise in God's Word that'll get you healed. You got your Bible there with you? Oh, yeah, I brought my Bible. Some of them say, I stopped and bought a new one. Okay, praise God. Let's find out whether you wore the other one out or you didn't have one till you come to see me.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.